68, and our children's super church are taking off right now. Good-looking group of kids, isn't it? And young people. Amen. We're going to build a wall with no Washington overtones. I really didn't have any. And we're going to get her done. All right? We're going to build a wall of faith. And today, we're going to add a couple of bricks to our wall. And they're critical. I hear and see, as well as you probably do too, people who say they believe, and you wonder if believing has any effect on their life because it doesn't seem to engage the way I might understand biblical belief. And so what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to, as simply as possible, break down and build the wall of biblical faith with some building blocks. Last week, we looked at an overview of faith from Scripture, and I know the weather was horrible last week, and if you weren't able to be here, I'd like to really encourage you to go to our webpage and listen to that message because of the truth that's declared in it from Scripture. Faith is just absolutely critical, and I wonder sometimes if we understand it, or actually, I don't wonder, I'm confident that some in the church, let's say it that way, don't understand it to the degree that we could. And even in that, we're all growing in our understanding and belief of what faith is. So we want to be biblical, and we want to take a look at this wall of faith. And what we're going to do is we're going to use the example that God chose to use in the beginning, and then Jesus added to this journey of faith or this pilgrimage, and he said some things that we don't find in Abraham's life, but Abraham is used as the example from Genesis all the way through Revelation of being the father of faith. And if that's what God chose to call him, then it would seem that we can learn some things in how God worked in his life and how he responded to the way that the Lord was working in his life. And so we're wanting to do that today as we begin to build this wall. Last week, the majority of us, the vast majority, and maybe everybody, and some like to stand and some just don't like that, and that's fine, declared that we desire to see God work through our faith for his glory, us believing him. Faith is, Hebrews says, substance, it's evidence, it's the substance of things hoped for, so it's something I can't see, I can't put my hands around it, it's the evidence of things not seen. We looked at and read that without faith, it isn't just difficult to please God, it's absolutely impossible to please God. He who comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's impossible for a believer who, it is possible for a believer, I want you to hear this. It's possible for a believer who began well believing God to move from faith in God, listen to this, to being faithful. And there's a difference between trusting God for something and being faithful. There are a lot of people who are faithful to a lot of different things in life. But believing God for the impossible, the unseen, I should be faithful to him in that. But it's possible to be faithful to the Christian cause, possible to be faithful in your home, or to a job, or whatever other interest you might have, and not engage faith believing God for some things. So we got to be careful there. I'm going to give a couple of examples, and I have absolutely nobody in my mind. But I am confident that in a group this big, it hits home with somebody. I don't have anybody in my mind. I think about a little girl who is abused by a wicked family member, and all of the trauma that causes in her life. I believe, this is me, I believe it is humanly impossible for her to forgive and get over that and walk in victory. But at the same time, I find in Scripture, forgive and it shall be forgiven unto you. And if I choose not to forgive, or if she chooses not to forgive, while that doesn't indicate that she's not a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, it just causes her to walk through life with a limp and a cloud over her head. But yet you've got this impossibility of someone who was wicked and who knows how often and sometimes for prolonged amounts of time, significantly affecting that person. It's impossible to forgive, and yet we see it. With God, the things that are impossible become possible. And forgiveness is critical for a healthy view of who someone is in the Lord and to sense God's working in their life. Don't hear me say that that girl should trust this wicked person in her life. Maybe they've died and gone on. Maybe they're still around. There's a difference between forgive and sitting in the same room with and trusting. That would never happen in my house. Never. But there's got to be forgiveness, or I'm not able to become everything that God wants me to be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For this little girl, forgiving that wicked person in their life, and it happens over and over and over again in our community where we're at. It's impossible, but with God, it's possible. That's a challenge, isn't it? And so it would be God-honoring faith for this girl to trust God for the unseen, to be able to forgive this wicked individual, allowing God to deal with it however it is that he chose to do it, and he's going to do an awful lot better job. And he's going to probably be an awful lot tougher as well if there isn't repentance involved as well. Another individual, nobody in mind. The child, now adult, who didn't have the perfect home, didn't have a loving father, didn't have a loving mother. Maybe divorce was there. Maybe they stayed together and were the pieces of a family, and maybe they weren't. And so they didn't get to grow up with all of the nurturing that a loving, God-honoring dad would give, or that a loving, God-honoring mom would give. And for this child to step up to who they are in the Lord, raising their head high because they're a child of God, is next to impossible, if not impossible, from a human perspective. We might have counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists that can give them some tools to cope, but God gives them the ability to walk around as a child of his, adopted into the family of God, recognizing he is my king, and he's the one that I serve, and he loves me and has done me well. For this child, and that happens all over, doesn't it? All over our community, in our church as well. For this child, being able to see that reality is an impossibility or a near impossibility. But with God, he says, all things are possible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I know that there are those that go way out there with faith, and sometimes it's okay if God's in the middle of it, and sometimes there's a lot of people who use God's name and say he's in the middle of it, but I'm not talking about the difficult things that Jesus talked about, where he said, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and if you doubt not in your heart, it'll happen. I'm talking about the things that God has clearly said in his word. We can walk in those if we walk by faith. And it isn't just gutting it out. It isn't just willpower. It's believing God for the impossible. And he loves to show up when someone believes him for the impossible. Amen? I want us to consider Abraham. 32 times Abraham is referred to as our father. Sometimes by the Jews who rejected Christ. And so even though they claimed to be children of Abraham, Jesus would clarify they weren't because of faith, a lack of faith. They might have been through the physical seed. 32 times, though, Abraham is referred to as our father. Other times it's in reference to the faith, to being the father of faith. And I just want to read a few verses here. This is from Romans 4. And I'm just going to read some phrases so you get the idea. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for his righteousness, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed or given to them also. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, Jews, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Another place, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Another place, he became the father of many nations, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God chose all through Scripture to highlight the faith that Abraham had in him when God came to him and gave him a command. He's the father of our faith. So surely there's some things that we can learn from Abraham as we walk through Scripture. He was a product of the scattering of the Tower of Babel. You remember the story. Noah created the ark. God destroyed the world. It didn't take very long, and mankind was corrupt and crude, and they worshiped false gods. And so God went down and mixed up their languages and scattered them all around the earth. Abraham was the product of one of those families, just like everybody else that populated the earth at that particular time. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 51. This is interesting. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Do you follow after righteousness? I want to follow after righteousness. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look at your origins. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. That's who he's speaking of. For I called him alone. That's what God says. When the population was scattered and mankind began to shake their fists at God and became as gods, he scattered the world, twisted our tongue, and he said, I called Abraham and I called him alone. No one else, him alone. And I blessed him and increased him. Joshua says this. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Polytheism was commonplace in Abraham's house. That's what he grew up in. He didn't grow up worshiping the God of creation. He grew up worshiping just like everybody else did on the planet at that particular time. All gods, false gods. That's who he was too. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Look to the pit from where I've taken you out of. I called him and I called him alone. God singled out Abraham. It wasn't about Abraham. It was about God and what he did in Abraham's life and how Abram at the time, actually, how he responded. And he did it for Abram, Isaiah tells us, and for him alone. This isn't general revelation that went out to all of the peoples of all of the earth. There was no written scripture at that particular time. This is God working through one particular individual, and he's called the father of faith. Surely, there are some things that we can learn and respond in the way that Abraham did that was pleasing to God as well. A word about the timing of Abraham. From Hebrews and Genesis is what I want to talk about. It's important to note that faith has always been God's message. It's always been his system of salvation. It wasn't works in the Old Testament, and then Jesus came, and now we have to trust him. It was always about faith in God. And Hebrews gives examples. That's what he wrote for. And he gives examples in Hebrews chapter 11 about how faith began way back at creation and worked all the way through the end of the Old Testament, and then Jesus went on, and Paul he used as well to communicate and expound on faith as well. In Hebrews, the Spirit of God through the author is seeking to show the readers that faith is what makes one acceptable to God. And in chapter 11, he gives us a lot of examples. First, he defines it. We just did. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he says that we, those who follow after God, believe that the worlds or the ages were created by faith. None of us were there. We read the account now. Abraham didn't have that account when he had it, but we believe it. And it's a faith issue. And then he gives three pre-flood examples of faith. He talks about Abel, who offered a sacrifice that was a demonstration of his faith. But he didn't use Abel as the example of the father of faith. It was a portion of faith. He offered a sacrifice, but it wasn't the complete picture. Then he talked about Enoch. If anybody would be the father, surely it would be Enoch, because he walked with God, and then he was not. He didn't even die. He just was raptured out of this world. He talked about walking with God, and that's a portion of faith also, but it's not the whole picture. Noah He gives us the picture of obedience to the unknown, the hope factor, which is part of faith. But he didn't use these pre-flood examples to be the father of faith. He didn't use Abel. He didn't use Enoch. He didn't use Noah. But after the flood happened, after the spreading of the people, the scattering at the Tower of Babel, he chose this one person, Isaiah says, Abraham. And that's the one he uses to give us the whole picture of faith. And we're going to see a wall being built by some of the ways that Abram and Abraham to be changed to what his name was changed to and how he responded to the Lord. And I think it can help us to learn how to walk by faith as well. These others believed the word of God. They obeyed the word of God as they knew it. They were pre-flood, now post-flood after the scattering at Babel. Hebrews continues with Abraham. Man spread across the world, separated from God, not like the garden. They didn't walk with him day in and day out. They had no revelation. He had scattered them shortly after. There's no written revelation. It didn't exist. And I want us to get the picture of when Abraham came on the scene. From Jesus' death until now is about 2,000 years, give or take, okay? Jesus' death until now. From creation to Adam was about 2,000 years. And so that's about the same time frame. From Jesus until now and from creation until Adam is about that same time frame. God selected to reveal himself through one man, Abraham, from whom would come the nation of Israel. We know that. It wasn't a general revelation to everybody that walked on the earth at that particular time, but a very specific revelation to one. And then we find it emphasized throughout Scripture. Abraham becomes a central figure in God's plan concerning faith. We see it over and over in Galatians. We see it over in Romans as well. We see it in Ephesians. We see Jesus talking about the faith of your father. And so God uses him as the example. It's about God and what he did, but it's about how Abram and Abraham responded to what God created, what he demanded and spoke to him. We're going to find that Abraham didn't just believe God once, but that it was there were several different times that he believed God and acted upon his belief in his life. And I heard a preacher say one time, and I've said it over and over since I heard it, and this was just 4 or 5 years ago, it isn't about making a decision for Christ and being in the group that goes to heaven. It's about a life of decisions for Jesus. It isn't that I need to get saved over and over and over, but if I come to know the Lord by faith in him, and that's the last time I made some sort of a willful decision to purpose to follow God, that's a sad experience. It's about making many decisions for the Lord. When reading passages of Scripture on Abraham believing God, we're always led back in his situation to salvation by faith, and that's what was accounted unto him for righteousness. I'm in Genesis chapter 11. I want you to go there if you would. Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to read a couple of verses from verse 27 just to look at the promise that was made to Abram. Genesis 11, 27 says this. This is the genealogy of Terah, Abram's father. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram of Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Issachar. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And what we have, and we're just going to barely touch an initial passage here from Genesis chapter 12, we're going to see where God came to Abram and gave a clear communication and required something of him. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. How old was he? 75 years old. So if you're here today, respectfully, and you're 70 or above, and think I can put it in neutral and coast, look at this guy. 75 years old. Yeah, his dad lived 205 years. That's a pretty good chunk of years. But the idea of consistently always seeking to grow in the Lord is always present in Scripture. We don't retire from growing in the Lord. We don't retire from serving God. We might retire from a job and gain an income just because of the blessing of the country in which we live, but our spiritual life started at new birth, and it goes on and on until we step onto the other side, and I'm wondering if we still grow. I know we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to see him face to face, but I wonder if there's still growing that's going on. This man was 75 years old. What I want us to do today is I want us to add two building blocks to this wall of faith, and we're going to see it in Abram's life. The first building block is clear communication from God. Abram received a very clear communication from God. It wasn't general communication to everybody in the world. It was God and him. He received a clear communication from God, and then he had a belief that produced action. He didn't just believe God in his head, and isn't that nice? The clear communication from God caused him to have faith, and it produced some sort of a measurable action as well. And if we have biblical faith, we're going to understand God has given us a clear word, like we talked about the young girl who's got a wicked individual in her life, and God's given a clear word, forgive, and it shall be forgiven unto you. If you can't forgive men their trespasses, how will God be able to forgive you yours? A clear communication from God, and then the ability to act on that in a measurable way as well. So when I think about biblical faith, it isn't just here. There's a clear communication, and there's something that's going on. It is not, and we're going to declare this, it is not that something is going on, and so I have a biblical faith. This is the cart. This is the horse. This is the cart, okay? The clear communication from God, and then we act on it. And James will talk to us about the reality of biblical faith having works as well. The clear communication was this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. A very clear communication from God. It wasn't written in Genesis for Abram. Genesis didn't exist yet. Moses wrote it, and he wrote it later, so it must have been direct inspiration that God gave to Moses so that we have it in our Bibles as well. But Abram didn't wonder if it was clear communication. It was clear communication from Abram to God. I believe that he appeared before him. There was a very clear communication. Another example, can I just give a couple? Another example would be Moses. Remember Moses in Exodus chapter 14? The people were leaving Israel. Excuse me, the people were leaving Egypt, and Pharaoh was seeking after them, and they had a dilemma because they came to a river, the Nile, and it was going to gulf them up. It was going to sweep them over. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, here's the clear communication, okay? The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But you lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. What was the clear communication? Moses, lift up your rod, and I'm going to part the waters. So if Moses heard the clear communication and believed, but there was no action, would that be biblical belief? No. It engaged biblical belief when he heard it, determined purpose that he was going to do it, and he lifted up his rod and the waters parted. It was a measurable action. It was a faith. It was something that he couldn't see, something that he hoped for, a clear communication from God. He did what God told him, and God came in with the miracle. God is capable of doing that. Nothing is impossible with God. Are there those in our world today that abuse faith? Absolutely they are, and there are. Should we stiff arm everything that has to do with biblical faith because of those who abuse it? If we do, shame on us. We need to step up and stand up to understand what God's given us and believe Him for what He wants us to believe Him for so that He receives glory. It isn't about me being rich or having my teeth filled with gold or whatever else people are claiming. It's about seeing God glorified because we believe Him for the impossible. And for the girl who has a hard time forgiving her wicked uncle, it's impossible. But God can show Himself strong there, and the next thing you know, her faith is a measurable action, and she expresses forgiveness. For the boy or the little girl that's turned adult, that wasn't raised in a home where all of the pieces that would be great to have are there, they can still walk strong in the Lord because God is able to do the impossible. Are there hurdles and challenges? Sure. But God is able to do the impossible. These are the things that are clear communications. We're not talking about things that aren't clear communications yet. Someone might say, if I had such a clear word like Abram had or like Moses had, if I were able to see God and got a clear word from Him, then I would be able to have the faith that they had. Really? Let's look at a couple of examples. Because He's given us some pretty clear communication, hasn't He? How about, you must be born again? Are you born again? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation in Him and only Him? A very clear communication. And when you engage with biblical faith, belief, there is a measurable way of discerning that someone is a believer because we heard it this morning. All of a sudden, a sad, sad countenance instantly turns to joy. And a teenage girl is hanging out of the car in her small town wanting to tell people about Jesus. That's a measurable result. You must be born again. What about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? That's a clear word from the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do you have the spiritual discipline and muscles that you're allowing the word of Christ to dwell in you richly? Are you learning it more and more? Not just on Sunday mornings, and that's fine, I'm glad you're here, but are you learning the Word of God so that not just intellectually, and that's a part of it, but you're allowing it to filter all the way down into your heart, and you're meditating on it, and it's dwelling in you richly? That's a clear word from the Lord. Is there anyone you haven't forgiven? That's a clear word from the Lord. What about love? This is the commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God, John says, must love his brother also. That's a clear word from the Lord. It isn't, I don't like them, or they did me wrong, or I'm just going to stay away from them. He says, no, we're known by our love. That's a clear word from God. And if it's difficult because somebody's wronged you or talked about you bad, then belief in God for the impossible is possible. Because he's given a clear word, and now we engage the clear word, and we walk in victory, loving that person or forgiving that person or whatever else it might be. What about honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase? I just can't do that. Really? It's a clear communication, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, this one, and we have it's a measurable ability as well. Not that everybody gets to measure, but it's discernible on whether we're doing that. As we consider a life of faith, let's learn to crawl before we walk, before we run. And I'm not trying to scold us, and I don't want to belittle anyone and say we don't walk in faith, but let's learn to crawl before we walk, before we run. And that's why we have two building blocks that are added today. When there's a clear communication from God, I have the ability to believe Him, not just with my mind, but believe Him, and the results are going to be measurable. God is going to be able to measure those results, and I'm going to know whether those results are measurable or not as well. The place to start living a life of faith is the clear communication we have from God. It's true that Jesus adds something to it in the Gospels, and we'll discuss some of those things. He talked about the mountain that could be removed, and he talked about the fig tree, and he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it. And so what does it mean that we're asking in his name? And we'll add to that, but let's get the building blocks and build our wall first. Later in these studies, we'll see Jesus doing that. Whatever you say or ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that is so much more than, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Nothing wrong with that, because we have access to the Father through Jesus, but asking in his name is a whole lot more than a little phrase that we tag onto the end of our prayer. Amen. First, let's remember or learn or relearn. We have a Bible filled with many clear communications with God. Some things aren't as clear as others, so let's start with the things that we know. The things that are clear, the things that God pricks our heart and our mind in, that he wants us to believe him for in a way that is even measurable. Another example, I won't go here, but I'll just tell you the story. Another example is the rich man and Lazarus. You remember, rich man was speaking to Abraham. He was in misery and torment, and he said, would you just send Lazarus to my five brothers? If they hear him, they'll repent, and they won't have to go to this place. Do you remember the response? They have Moses and the prophets. If they won't hear them, they won't hear even if someone were to be raised from the dead. They have a clear communication, Moses and the prophets. But if they're not going to listen to them, they don't need any presto change-o, somebody resurrected from the dead, and all of a sudden they're going to hear him. I mean, there's a lot of people, the vast majority, wide is the way to destruction. We're post-Jesus' resurrection, and people don't believe in it. A significant building block of faith is a clear communication from God. The second one, and we're going to finish with this, the second building block today is a belief that produces an action. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, clear communication, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. That's the faith part of it. He didn't know the where, he didn't know the when, he didn't know what was going to happen there. But when he got a clear communication from God, by faith, he did what God wanted him to do. It was a measurable action. I think one of the measurable actions of salvation is a willingness and a desire to be baptized, to be identified with the Lord. Not going to worry about the mode or anything like that, but that we want to be identified with the Lord through baptism. All of a sudden, I have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, a measurable way of knowing that God has worked in my heart. The way we know and the way that God presents Abraham, God working in Abraham's heart, is when God gave him clear communication, he got up and he went out not knowing where he was going. And what's interesting is the verb construction there, it's almost like this. As God was speaking, Abraham was already obeying. It wasn't I hear and then I weigh it out and I'll decide. But as God was speaking, he was already in the process of obeying whatever it was that the Lord wanted him to do. Listen to how Stephen tells it just before he was stoned. And he said, brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives, come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran from there. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it. Listen to this. Not even enough to set a foot. He gave him a clear communication. Said, Abraham, I want you to get up and get out of your land, get away from your family. I'm going to give you something. But Stephen lets us recognize that God didn't give him that inheritance. So he believed and he pursued. He's the father of faith, yet God didn't even give him one foot of inheritance in that land. Isn't that interesting? That'll kind of blow away some of the God's going to make me rich faith out there today, won't it? Abraham was rich, but he didn't get one step of inheritance in that particular land. Romans 4 reminds us this. Righteousness comes through faith, but it's faith that works. What then shall we say that Abraham our father is found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Later on, it says the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The very opposite of what the Jews were believing in Jesus' day. One of the reasons that they wanted to stone Jesus, because Jesus said to them, if you were of your father Abraham, you would believe in me as well, because he believed in me. James 2 brings a clarifying word to the building block of a belief that produces action, because we don't want to say that faith is a work. We have faith in God, which produces good works. James says this, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and doesn't have works? Can that faith save him? As the New American Standard Bible includes the word that. Can faith save him, that particular faith? And then he gives an illustration. If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, depart in peace, be warmed, filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what profit is that? Thus also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, it's dead. If it's just something that enters my head and causes me to be devoted, but it doesn't change my life, James says, it's dead faith. And even the demons believe, and they tremble. But Abram's wasn't dead faith. He had a clear communication from God, and he got up, and he did exactly what the Lord was that he wanted him to do. And when God calls us to salvation, we sense the conviction of sin because of the law, and we're told, believe what Christina said to us this morning in John 3:16, we're told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, we place our body, that's the action, we place ourselves at Jesus' feet, expecting forgiveness because that's his word. And then buckle your seatbelt because God starts working in your heart and your life, and you have to resist him if you're not going to work in accordance with him. If Abram had believed God but not gotten up and out of his land, James is saying it would have been dead faith. No action, no growth, no dynamic, no life. How's your faith today? We're called to a life of without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not just I believe in him, but I believe with a measurable action. Clear communication, measurable action. One man describes Abraham's faith in this way, saying this is what it looked like. He left the land of his birth. He forsook his home, forsook his estate. He severed his family ties. He left loved ones behind, not all of them, but he left loved ones behind. He abandoned comfortable, familiar living to embrace total uncertainty. That's what he did. God called him to it, him and him alone. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where. He didn't know to what. But his faith in God was strong enough that knowing, not knowing, he still set out with speedy obedience. And Stephen in Acts tells us God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But it was faith because he believed God and he acted. Abraham is the father of faith, the example God has given us. To conclude, so what lesson of faith might we learn from this? What lesson of faith might we learn from this? A lot of people last week said, I want to have the faith in God that he wants me to have. I want to believe him for the impossible, for the unseen. We're not talking about the wow stuff. We're talking about what God wants us to believe him for. As you and I ask God to grow us in our faith to the place of believing him for the impossible, for the unseen, you see if in the next few days or whatever time frame he chooses, if he doesn't give you an opportunity to believe him. And you just see if he doesn't remind you of two things. I've given you a clear communication, and your response is going to be more than just in your mind. It's going to be a measurable response in how you respond to me as well. I want to grow in my faith. I love my Lord. Got saved on April 8th, 1980. That was the beginning of a pilgrimage, of a journey. But I'm not done. God's not done with me yet. I'm confident. And he wants me growing in him and believing him and understanding the clear communications that he's given. And we're going to start out with the easy ones. Crawl before you walk, before you run. Start out with the clear communications that he's given us and see that I'm functioning in a way that's pleasing to him, trusting him in a way that he could measure if he chooses to do that. Is that what you want, to grow in your faith? I hope so. Let's do this. Let's just ask him to work in our hearts. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the example of Abraham, I thank you for his response. And may we see him as just a regular person that responded appropriately to you in such a way that just as regular people, as we read your word and get clear communications, we can respond appropriately as well. Father, open up your word to us. Give us the disciplines we need to see and understand the clear communications so that we might respond in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, I pray for everyone in this place that we would believe you with a belief that's genuine, especially for salvation. But once we're in the family of God, that we would believe you for everything that you would have us believe you for. Individually, may we do that as a church as well. Glorify yourself as we believe you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.